chapter 23. Wonderful book on wisdom. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. Trish Barbera, would you like to read that, please? So, as a man thinketh, huh? That's something that the Bible really gets focused on in terms of the manifestation of that which we're living out comes as a direct result of the type of things that you think about. You know that you cannot have a positive life and a negative mind. It just doesn't work like that. You can't have a positive life and a negative mind. So, there are some great truths and some great principles in God's Word that would help us so that when we find ourselves slipping or going down a certain road, that we can grab our minds and say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to think like that anymore. I'm going to think a different way. I'm going to think according to the new man, the Christ within me. I'm going to think according to what God's Word says. And you know, I've been recently working at particular two scriptures in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Many of you know these. They're great retemory verses, man. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing which exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, Dr. Werwell many years ago did a very excellent literal translation of verse 5. It says, demolish your human logic to the high point to which you have exalted it vertically against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, I know that's a lot to ask. Demolish your human logic, because we're so groomed and schooled in reasoning, thinking things through according to our own abilities. But you know what God asks us to do? Demolish your human logic and your high thinking that you have lifted up vertically against the knowledge of God. And as we develop this and get into this, it'd be really interesting to see how this all sort of interrelates. But let's get back to the title of our teaching here this morning, shall we? The lesson of the cows. You know, cows are great animals. Anybody ever eat cow?
Yeah.
Huh? Got some beef eaters in here. We got some non-beef eaters in here. But you know what? Here's an old cowboy who said he had learned life's most important lesson from Hereford cows. I'm taking this from a book by Dr. Norman Vincent Peale called Six Attitudes for Winners. Love this little book. It's small. And yet there's things in here that can really help change our thinking. And if we can change our thinking, we can change our lives, because our behavior changes as a result of what we're thinking about. So here's an old cowboy. This is for you, Gene. Said he learned life's most important lesson from Hereford cows. All his life he had worked on cattle ranches where winter storms took a heavy toll among the herds. Freezing rains whipped across the prairies. Howling bitter winds piled snow into enormous drifts. Temperatures might drop quickly to below zero. Flying ice cut into the flesh. And this maelstrom of nature's violence, most cattle would turn their backs to the icy blasts and slowly drift downwind, mile after mile. Finally, intercepted by a boundary fence, they would pile up against the barrier and die by the scores. But the Herefords, they acted differently. Cattle of this breed would instinctively head into the windward end of the range. There they would stand, shoulder to shoulder, facing the storm's blast. heads down against its onslaughts. You most always found in the Hereford cows them being alive and well, said the cowboy. I guess this is just the greatest lesson I've ever learned on the prairies, just in facing life's storms. You see, so many times what we want to do is turn tail and run from the storms of life. But what this lesson is teaching us is one of the greatest ways to overcome those obstacles and those difficulties that we face is to meet them head on with the Word of God. See? Wow. You know what? The devil's a liar. That's just not my opinion. That's what the Word of God says in John 8:44. It says the devil's a liar. And he's the father of lies. You know, when you can be really good at lying, you can be really good, can you? At least that's what I've heard. You learn to manipulate, you learn to deceive, you learn to twist things to get to a certain thing, to a certain point. And you know what? It says that the devil, the adversary, that Satan, the evil one, is the father of lies. He is working things out in people's thinking or whatever it is to get them to the point where they will believe what the lie is rather than what God's Word says. You know, when the renewed mind becomes a habit pattern, the mind becomes a friend instead of an enemy. It's a great, great verse there. When the renewed mind, putting God's Word on and acting accordingly, when that becomes a way of life, then you're no longer struggling so heavily against the thoughts that come into your mind. You can't stop negative thoughts from coming, can you? I don't know of any one person here or anywhere else out in the world that's ever never had a negative thought. Do you? Well, if you do, write their name down and give it to me. Hey, we have them all the time. You've already had them this morning. Maybe you're having them right now. You know what I mean? The thing is, you've got the ability to change. You've got the power. That's what power for abundant living is all about, that you're now back in charge of your life. Before, you were bought and paid for by the enemy. You didn't have anything to do with it. You just grew up that way. But once you got the Spirit of Christ born within you, you can make choices. You choose how you're going to think. You choose how you're going to live. You choose how you're going to perceive things. Do you see the glass half empty or half full? Man, life is so full of choices that we make, yet our enemy is slick, isn't he? He's sly. He tries to back us into a corner. It almost makes it look like we don't even really have a choice anymore. See? Almost like I don't have an option other than maybe to lie. To steal in a certain situation. I have no choice. You always have a choice. Ephesians 6:12, maybe we don't even need to turn in the Bible to that. Ephesians 6:12. You know what looks like a flesh and blood struggle? That's just the deception of the five senses. According to the Word of God, it says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Well, I see it out there. I sure feel like it's a flesh and blood fight. You got to run basically everything that happens in life through the filter of God's Word. That's why the knowledge of God's Word is so doggone important. See? Not that we're just so inflated. Oh, I know the Word of God. It's so that it becomes a practical tool in our day-by-day living so that when something is coming towards us, whatever it is that area in your life, maybe it's condemnation, maybe it's getting a little hard-hearted, maybe it's not wanting to forgive somebody, maybe it's who knows what, that you say, on guard. Not this time. Not going to happen to me. I have been down this road too many times. This time, devil, go from me. in the name of Jesus Christ. You have a personal enemy. You've got to deal with the enemy personally. On guard. On guard. No. Otherwise, you know what? You slip his way right in there. Certain choices. Pretty soon. Compromise here. Compromise there. Compromise a little bit here. Pretty soon, you know what? You're entertaining thoughts that are just like, whoa. By the time you get out there, normally you're wondering, what the heck am I thinking about? See? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we're wrestling against. That's what we're fighting against. But you know what? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I don't whip it up within my own ability, my great or lack of great personality. I'm just going to be so strong today. Really? In what? I go to the gym and now I'm getting all physically strong, so that makes me more spiritual? Oh, no. Oh, no. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Where are those strongholds? Are they strongholds that are built out there in the world? Oh, no. A lot of those strongholds are built right up here in our minds after year, year after year after year after year of being hurt, of being betrayed, of feeling less than what God's Word says about you. You make decisions about certain sections of your life that are not based on the truth of God's Word. The devil's been at this a long time. He knows what he's doing. See, that's why we have to have this Word of God to really stay sharp with it. See, John 8. Well, what some great statements here, huh? When the renewed mind becomes a habit pattern, then the mind becomes a friend instead of an enemy. You're not always struggling against your own mind. Have you ever felt like that? God, I have. Seems like over and over and over and over again. See? But when the renewed mind becomes a habit pattern, then you know what? We're in control of our thinking. We just don't let any thought come through our mind and we grab onto it and it's like, and then, you know, we're controlled by it. We can, those thoughts come. We can assess them according to God's Word. And then we move in spite of those things. And hopefully we're responding to those things rather than reacting. See? A lot of ways to get that sort of thinking stirred up, you know. How about anger? Ever met an angry person? I have. It used to scare me. I used to just want to get away. Get away, you know, because I'm kind of a peacemaker. I'm not like one to just like jump into the middle of it. For believers, many times, that's a problem. They get angry. They don't know what to do with anger. See? A lot of emotions and things and attitudes. That's why we have to keep our heads into God's Word. John 8, chapter 31. Here's a good answer. I'm going to give you some solutions. I'm not down on you here. We're all in this together. John 8, 31. We're the cows, right? We're banding together, guys. We're not just separating out and wandering in the storms of life alone. I need you guys. I want you on my team, that we're together, collectively facing the difficult moments in life together. See? It's not like, you know, I get Shelley involved in God's Word, and they say, well, you could just go up and figure it out on your own, little lady. Bye. I got enough to deal with on my own. Stronger together than alone. Unity in numbers. All for one, one for all. See? We're all in this collectively together or we're not. Some people have over time have made up their minds. I don't want to be a part of it. Okay. that hurt me? Yeah, it hurts me. But that's the choices that people have made. I can't stop that. John 8:31. Think it broke Jesus' heart when the disciples walked away? Oh, my gosh. And they were so passionate. Jesus will stand with you through anything. It doesn't matter. And the moment he was captured, and you know what? You couldn't find them for dust. They were gone. They took off. Went somewhere. You think they had a little condemnation in their heart? Think they, when they looked in the face of the beaten up Jesus Christ, that they maybe have thought, what did I do? What did I do? John 8:31. Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Liberate! Free you from any prison that encases you. And you know what many of the prisons in life are? They're not physical prisons. They're right up here. Because people are so bound by feelings of unworthiness, condemnation, sin consciousness, lack of confidence, lack of somebody believing in them, caring about them, loving them. It says here, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How do you get the truth? Here's an interesting thing. You saturate yourself with the truth of God's word to the point that it overflows out of you. I don't know how that happens for you. How about teachings? Tapes, books, seminars, private Bible study, prayer, love of God, praise, one body thinking, forgiveness, meekness, the list goes on. These are choices that we can make. See? How do I get that word of God into my brain cells other than just on Thursday night, maybe, and Sunday morning, maybe. Other than that, how do I begin to really get this Word of God into my mind to the point that it is such an habitual way of thinking that I'm no longer struggling against the thoughts in my own mind? Well, you know what? You got to make a choice. Again, we're right back to the choices. The Hereford cows could have gone into, turned their back from the storms of life and gone away and died and crawled into their little hole and felt sorry for themselves or whatever. But no, they turned and they faced the storm and they moved together as a collective unit. And in that process, they achieved victory. The victory in the body of Christ comes when each and every person renews their mind, walks in the love of God, operates their functions of their ministries. It's not up to one person to do it all. It's up to you. And when that word of God becomes personal, and when you make the decision, the choice, yes, your life will change drastically. We saturate ourselves to the point of it overflowing. And you know what? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. The devil's not stupid, okay? He knows this. So he's going to do everything he can to keep you away from it. Because if you ever know it, and if you ever walk out in the power of it, there's nothing he can do about it. And he doesn't want that to happen. So why not just keep people's hearts, minds, lives, everything else just in an uproar? He doesn't care how it happens. As long as you're upset, off balance, uptight, just funky, most of the time, he doesn't care. He's skilled at it. That's why it's so important for us to get this word into our minds, just whatever resources we might have. See, look at Mark 4:24. A great subject matter. And part of the reason that I'm sharing what I'm sharing here this morning is this is what we have begun to take on and study with a number of younger folks, many of these people that were up here earlier this morning, in a more of a concentrated study environment on Monday evenings. So I wanted to sort of open the teaching, you know, a little bit for you guys to kind of see some of the things that we're really, really trying to expand their understanding and their vision of their own lives. And whether I'll call it the lesson of the cows or not, I don't know, but it doesn't really matter. So John 4:24. You've probably heard this verse before. Mark 4:24, sorry. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. The Amplified Bible, I don't know if anyone ever reads the Amplified Bible of the New Testament. It's a very interesting translation of this particular verse. I'm not saying that this is God-breathed from me to you, but you take it into your way of thinking about things. And it says that the measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. How about that? What you put into something is what you get out of it. That's exactly what that's saying. But the measure of thought and study that you give to the truth that you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. That's the Amplified Version. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. You know what? Many times what we do is we feel like giving up. It's not worth it. Just quit. But deep down in your heart, you don't want to be a quitter. That's why when you see these people in the Olympics, like are on right now, or right in the heat of the battle. It's almost an emotional experience watching these people, and part of it is that they build the story of these individuals' lives in terms of how much training, how much discipline, how much commitment, how much passion they have for that sport. And then when you see them in the competition, it's like you're right there with them almost, you know, like swimming every or doing whatever. And then when they win, it's just like, maybe it's just me. My heart rate goes up when the events are going on. It's just like I'm right there. It's awesome. Galatians 6:9, how about this? Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Keep it up. You're never going to be in the wrong loving people. You're never going to be in the wrong doing good. You're never going to be in the wrong being faithful, being helpful, being supportive, being encouraging, being somebody's friend. You know what? People may put up a great smoke screen, but deep down in their hearts somewhere, people have needs. Believers have needs, and people in the world have needs, if you haven't noticed. Let's not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, you know what? We'll reap if we faint not. We have the patience just to see these things through to fruition. So, casting down imaginations and every high thing with exalted of this. You know, that's not a one-time deal. It's not like confessing Jesus is Lord. Boop! You get it. Well, this casting down imagination things, that's going to go on for the rest of your life. So is renewing your mind. So is controlling your thinking. So is controlling your mouth. See? Well, that mouth gets us in trouble sometimes. Yep. How about 2 Corinthians 2:14? You know that one, Mike, do you? Barbara? Oh, yeah. Why don't you just give it to us, buddy?
Thanks be unto God, who always causes us to find us in Christ, and make it available That's so cool.
We got the victory. We got the triumph, see, in a doctrinal sense. But how about living that out in a practical sense day by day by day by day? You know what? We've got to convince ourselves in our own thinking by putting on the Word of God in our minds and in the face of the competition, you nail it. You nail it. Let's say this together. Congregational verse, okay? 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Oh, God used a forbidden word here. Always. You know, you should never speak about your spouse in some way. And always, you ever use the word always. You know. He never says anything nice, and He always does something. We're always like, oh, no, no, no. Always? Always? Every single time? But here God uses the word always. He always causes us to triumph. Then my thinking is that, then why do I always feel like a failure? I must be doing something wrong because God always causes me to triumph. You know why? Part of it is because I have not saturated my brain cells with enough of God's Word to convince the Spirit of God within me that when I get in the situation, I have the ability and the power to walk with the strength of Jesus Christ in that situation. Because you know what? The devil's got me doubting myself. Bottom line with the adversary, you know what? That's his main mission in life. Get you to doubt yourself. He doesn't care how that happens. Wow. Romans 8:37. These are the truths of the Word. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. All these things. Devil puts up a smoke screen, starts feeding your mind lies, gets you into all these circumstances, situations. It's just like, You know what? Truth of God's Word is still the same. In every situation, in every circumstance that you are in, you are more than a conqueror because of what Christ in you makes you to be. So hopefully this week, as time goes on, we got another verse here to go, but hopefully this week, as time goes on, I can almost guarantee you will be in a situation to try this out. This is just not nice little Sunday school teaching. This is a way to help you really be victorious in your walk with God. In applying the Word of God into your day-by-day thinking. See? First Corinthians chapter 15, last verse. The lesson of the cows. Don't turn tail and run. Don't do it. Turn into that which is confronting you and deal with it. Because you're not there alone. Fear is one of the enemy's greatest tools. Remember? Sand in the machinery of life. The thing that defeats the promises of God. If He can get you to turn and run scared, it ain't going to work out so well. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. Oh, here's another one. But thanks be to God what gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the victory. Well, why don't I feel like that then? I feel like a stupid idiot sometimes. Who just wants to maybe go back to bed and pull the covers up and just say, I'll try this again tomorrow. Do you know what? I gotta face life storms. Getting back in bed, throwing the covers over my head is like turning my back on the storm. But disciplining myself, getting up, doing what it takes, even if I don't feel like doing it, that's going to make a huge difference. Most people don't feel like going to the gym, but once they get there, they're resolved to the fact I'm here, so I might as well do something, you know. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So then God encourages us. He exhorts us. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor, it's not in vain. It's not in vain. For you to take the time necessary day by day, moment by moment, to control your thinking, to discipline it, to think according to what God's Word says, and to see the fruit of those sort of actions, that is not in vain. There is no greater and more noble cause than really to try to walk with God and stand upon God's Word from this point in time for the rest of your life. That's greater than any Olympic crown you'll ever get. Any gold medal, any $10,000 bonus you're going to get at the end of this week, although that'd be nice. You'll never be able to pay that throughout all of eternity. You're looking for a noble cause and a purpose in life? You found it. It's learning how to live it. It's learning the keys so that you can live what this Word of God really talks about. So let's just remember the lesson of the cows, shall we? And that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let's take back our minds. And let's fill it up to the point where we are so saturated with God's Word. It's a natural process that's the thing that just flows out of our mouths. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Because it's with what it's that which is within us. It's like we can't shut up. We cannot but speak that which we have seen and heard. See. So I challenge you. Take a little time this week. Do a little saturation work. See? Whatever that means to you. See? I've given you some practical examples of how to acquire that. I'm sure everyone here has at least one teaching CD in their home. Plenty of books. You got libraries full of books that you've never read. So do I. Tapes, seminars, private Bible studies. Most of us all have concordances. You know, blow the dust off them, maybe if you get a moment. And, you know, that's just another way. See, it doesn't have to be a, you know, you don't have to write a Jesus Christ or Passover 600-page book. How about just a little time frame, you and God just really chewing up and digesting and assimilating the greatest thing that's ever been written. See, God's Word is the mind of God. See, so don't faint. We got the victory. So Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together in your Word. Thank you, Lord, for working with us as mere humans to learn some of these simple truths from your Word so that we can manifest the victory that truly is ours in Christ. That you help us, Father, to demolish the logic systems and the strongholds that are built in our minds so that we can systematically put on the mind of Christ and just flourish and blossom and prosper in everything that we do. And I pray in the name of our soon-to-return Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. All right. God bless.